chapter 19, flesh foods. Meat is not essential for health or strength, else the Lord made a mistake when he provided food for Adam and Eve before their fall. All the elements of nutrition are contained in the fruits, vegetables, and grains. The Lord intends to bring his people back to live upon simple fruit, vegetables, and grains. He led the children of Israel into the wilderness where they could not get a flesh diet, and he gave them the bread of heaven. Man did eat angels' food, but they craved the flesh pots of Egypt and mourned and cried for flesh, notwithstanding the promise of the Lord that if they would submit to his will, he would carry them into the land of Canaan and establish them there a pure, holy, happy people, and that there should not be a feeble one in all their tribes, for he would take away all sickness from among them. The Lord would have given them flesh had it been essential for their health, but he who had created and redeemed them led them through that long journey in the wilderness to educate, discipline, and train them in correct habits. The Lord understood what influence flesh eating has upon the human system. He would have a people that would, in their physical appearance, bear the divine credentials, notwithstanding their long journey. When the selfishness of taking the lives of animals to gratify a perverted appetite was presented to me by a Catholic woman, I felt ashamed and distressed. I saw it in a new light, and I said, I will no longer patronize the butcher. I will not have the flesh of slain animals on my table. The diet of animals is vegetables and grains. Must the vegetables be animalized? Must they be incorporated into the system of an animal before we get them? Must we obtain our vegetable diet by eating the flesh of dead creatures? God provided food in its natural state for our first parents. He gave Adam charge of the garden to dress it and to care for it, saying, to you it shall be for meat. One animal was not to destroy another animal for food. Those who have lived upon a meat diet all their lives do not see the evil of continuing the practice, and they must be treated tenderly. Something must be prepared to take the place of meat, and these foods must be well prepared so that meat will not be desired. I know that with care and skill, dishes could be prepared to take the place of meat, but if the main dependence of the cook is meat, she will encourage meat eating, and the depraved appetite will frame every excuse for this kind of diet. Meat is the most expensive diet that can be had. Effects of meat eating. We do not hesitate to say that flesh meat is not necessary for health or strength. One of the great errors that many insist upon is that muscular strength is dependent upon animal food. But the simple grains, fruits of the trees, and vegetables have all the nutritive properties necessary to make good blood. This a flesh diet cannot do. Speaking in support of this diet, they said that without it they were weak in physical strength. But the words of our teacher to us were, as a man thinketh, so is he. The flesh of dead animals was not the original food for man. Man was permitted to eat it after the flood because all vegetation had been destroyed. Since the flood, the human race has been shortening the period of its existence. Physical, mental, and moral degeneracy is rapidly increasing in these last days. The weakness experienced on leaving off meat is one of the strongest arguments that I could present as a reason why you should discontinue its use. Those who eat meat feel stimulated after eating this food, and they suppose they are made stronger. After they discontinue the use of meat, they may for a time feel weak, but when the system is cleansed from the effect of this diet, they no longer feel the weakness and will cease to wish for that for which they have pleaded as essential to strength. You may think that you cannot work without meat. I thought so once, but I know that in his original plan, God did not provide for the use of the flesh of dead animals as a diet for man. It is a gross, perverted taste that will accept such food. To think of dead flesh rotting in the stomach is revolting. The eating of flesh meats has made a poor quality of blood and flesh. Your systems are in a state of inflammation, prepared to take on disease. You are liable to acute attacks of disease and to sudden death because you do not possess the strength of constitution to rally and resist disease. The physical powers are depreciated by the habitual use of flesh meat. meat eating deranges the system. The use of the flesh of animals tends to cause a grossness of the body. Their meat diet, which was supposed to be essential, was not necessary, and as they were composed of what they ate, brain, bone, and muscle were in an unwholesome condition because they lived on the flesh of dead animals. Their blood was being corrupted by this improper diet. The flesh which they ate was diseased, and their entire system was becoming gross and corrupted. When we feed on flesh, the juices of what we eat pass into the circulation. A feverish condition is created because the animals are diseased, and by partaking of their flesh, we plant the seeds of disease in our own tissue and blood. Then, when exposed to the changes of a malarious atmosphere, to prevailing epidemics and contagious diseases, these are more sensibly felt, for the system is not in a condition to resist disease. Because those who partake of animal food do not immediately feel its effects, is no evidence that it does not injure them. It may be doing its work surely upon the system, and yet the persons for the time being realize nothing of it. The liability to take disease is increased tenfold by meat eating. The practice of eating largely of meat is causing diseases of all kinds, cancers, tumors, scrofula, tuberculosis, and other like affections. The mortality caused by meat eating is not discerned. If it were, we should hear no arguments and excuses in favor of the indulgence of the appetite for flesh, for dead flesh. Her system is full of scrofulous humors from the eating of flesh meats. The use of swine's flesh in your family has imparted a bad quality of blood. Cancers, tumors, and various other inflammatory diseases are largely caused by meat eating. From the light which God has given me, the prevalence of cancers and tumors is largely due to gross living on dead flesh. Persons who live largely on a meat diet are in danger of putrefaction should they contract disease. When a limb is broken, physicians recommend their patients not to eat meat, as there would be danger of inflammation setting in. If we subsist largely upon the flesh of dead animals, we shall partake of their nature. A meat diet changes the disposition and strengthens the animalism. To educate your children to subsist on a meat diet would be harmful to them. Its use excites the animal propensities to increased activity and strengthens the animal passions. When the animal propensities are increased, the intellectual and moral powers are decreased. The use of the flesh of animals benumbs the fine sensibilities of the mind. It is impossible for those who make free use of flesh meats to have an unclouded brain and an active intellect. Eating much flesh will diminish intellectual activity. Students would accomplish much more in their studies if they never tasted meat. When the animal part of the human nature is strengthened by meat eating, the intellectual powers diminish proportionately. Meat eating deranges the system, beclouds the intellect, and blunts the moral sensibilities. Such a diet contaminates the blood and stimulates the lower passions. It prevents vigor of thought and enfeebles the perceptions so that God and the truth are not understood. Oh, if everyone could discern these matters as they have been presented to me, those who are so careless, so indifferent in regard to their character building, those who plead for indulgence in a flesh meat diet, would never open their lips in justification of an appetite for the flesh of dead animals. A religious life can be more successfully attained and maintained if meat is discarded, for this diet stimulates into intense activity the lustful propensities and enfeebles the moral and spiritual nature. The meat diet is a serious question. Shall human beings live on the flesh of dead animals? The answer from the light that God has given is no, decidedly no. Our health institutions should educate on this question. They should point out the increase of disease in the animal kingdom. The testimony of examiners is that very few animals are free from disease. Disease of every type is afflicting the human family, and it is largely the result of subsisting on the diseased flesh of dead animals. Those who subsist largely upon flesh cannot avoid eating the meat of animals which are to a greater or less degree diseased. The process of fitting the animals for market produces in them disease, and fitted in as healthful a manner as they can be, they become heated and diseased by driving before they reach the market. The fluids and flesh of these diseased animals are received directly into the blood and pass into the circulation of the human body, becoming fluids and flesh of the same. Thus, humors are introduced into the system, and if the person already has impure blood, it is greatly aggravated by eating of the flesh of these animals. The very animals whose flesh you eat are frequently so diseased that if left alone, they would die of themselves. But while the breath of life is in them, they are killed and brought to market. You take directly into your system humors and poisons of the worst kind, and yet you realize it not. There are but few animals that are free from disease. Many have been made to suffer greatly for the want of light, pure air, and wholesome food. When they are fattened, they are often confined in close stables and are not permitted to exercise and to enjoy free circulation of air. Many poor animals are left to breathe the poison of filth which is left in barns and stables. Their lungs will not long remain healthy while inhaling such impurities. Disease is conveyed to the liver, and the entire system of the animal is diseased. They are killed and prepared for the market, and people eat freely of this poisonous animal food. Much disease is caused in this manner, but the people cannot be made to believe that it is the meat they have eaten which has poisoned their blood and caused their sufferings. Many die of disease caused wholly by meat-eating, yet the world does not seem to be the wiser. It may be doing its work surely upon the system, and yet the person for the time being realizes nothing of it. Animals are frequently killed that have been driven quite a distance to the slaughter. Their blood has become heated. They are of full flesh and have been deprived of healthy exercise, and when they have to travel far, they become exhausted and in that condition are killed for market. Their blood is highly inflamed, and those who eat of their meat eat poison. Some are not immediately affected, while others are attacked with severe pain and die from fever, cholera, or some unknown disease. Some animals that are brought to the slaughter seem to realize what is to take place, and they become furious and literally mad. They are killed while in this state, and their flesh is prepared for market. Their meat is poison and has produced in those who have eaten it cramps, convulsions, apoplexy, and sudden death. Swine have been prepared for market even while the plague was upon them, and their poisonous flesh has spread contagious diseases, and great mortality has followed. Meat eating is doing its work, for the meat is diseased. The flesh which they ate was diseased, and their entire system was becoming gross and corrupted. Death was caused by the abundant eating of meat which at the last was tainted. Pulmonary diseases, cancers, and tumors are startlingly common among animals. It is true that the inspectors reject many cattle that are diseased, but many are passed on to the market that ought to have been refused. Thus, unwholesome flesh has gone on the market for human consumption. In many localities, even fish is unwholesome and ought not to be used. This is especially so where the fish come in contact with the sewage of large cities. The fish that partake of the filthy sewage of the drains may pass into waters far distant from the sewage and be caught in localities where the water is pure and fresh. But because of the unwholesome drainage in which they have been feeding, they are not safe to eat. The fact that meat is largely diseased should lead us to make strenuous efforts to discontinue its use entirely. It will be hard for some to do this, as hard as for the rum drinker to forsake his dram, but they will be better for the change.